Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We are coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studio.
We'll do it live.
That's right. Call 1-888, that's 888-FARMERS, to switch, and you could save an average of $470 on your car insurance. That's the average nationwide, the annual savings from survey data from July to December of 2020. That's a lot of money for a quick phone call. Don't you think?
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
All right, we mentioned Dan Fouts in the discussion about Phillip Rivers, Rob, and he will join us in about 20 minutes.
He'll be nice.
To talk about, yes, he's a great guy. You know, does broadcasting, always was good doing that. So he'll join us next. And then we got Kendall Gill, 15-year NBA veteran, who has been in the boxing ring, and he's got some interesting takes on pugilism as well as the NBA, of course. He calls Bulls games as NBA analyst for NBC Sports in Chicago. So
are you sure? You sure he wants to mess up that pretty face, Chris? You know what I mean, Kendall Gill?
I'm sure he does. I've talked to him. You know, I covered Kendall when he played for the Nets. Really good guy. I like him a lot. And he is a pretty boy, but he'll mix it up with you a little bit,
all
too.
Right.
Yeah. So he'll join us at the bottom of the hour. All right, Rob, we talked about it earlier. I was excited to see the Nets play and the Big Three debut. I haven't been this excited about a debut for a trio since Miami, 2010, when LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh played together. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember that game. I was there. It was in Boston. And it didn't look good. It didn't go well. They only scored, with those three players. Now, I know it was a different era, but still. They only scored 80 points. And it was a lot of my turn, your turn, you know.
Right,
and that's what happens with superstars when they come together, because sometimes they over-defer. You know, and you want so-and-so to get his, and should I shoot it or give it to him? You know, all that type of stuff going on. So, you know, it obviously took that team a while to gel. And let me say this. Kyrie ain't deferring. Kyrie is balling. Now, here's the score. 51-49 Cleveland. All right. So, several observations from this, but let me give you some of the stats that you can weigh in, and then we can get in the discussion. Kyrie Irving at halftime, 17 points. This is his first game back in 2 weeks. 17 points, 8 of 10 shooting, so the brother is on fire.
Right. It ain't like he's forcing up. He's got 15 shots for 17 points. It ain't like
right.
that.
Right. No. He's scoring. And one assist, 17 points. Kevin Durant, 11 points, 6 dimes, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. He's 4 of 9, so he's only taking one fewer shot than Kyrie. James Harden, 2 points, and he just scored those. I just saw him right before the half. He hit 2 free throws. He's got 2 points. He's only taking 2 shots. So I want you to go ahead and weigh in, and then I'll bounce off that.
Yeah, it's going to take some time for them to figure it out. We already know. There's no debate about the talent of these guys. And Kyrie hadn't played, Chris, in 2 weeks, and he looks fine to me. Looks like he can play. I don't think that's the issue. It's about where his head is and if he's going to stick with the team and be there the whole year. That's the only question. As far as James Harden, it would be different maybe. I don't know. Maybe just he does have 5 rebounds, right, and 4 assists. So he's in the mix, and maybe just didn't see shots he wanted. It ain't easy to mix all three. Someone is going to have to take slight of a backseat, right? It's just not enough for everybody, Chris, to score 30 points. It's just not.
Well, see, and that's
not
the challenge.
Yeah, it's challenging, but talent wins out. There'll be times
not
when
always.
Maybe. Well, but when, for the most part, especially in the NBA.
We've seen, you know this, we've seen great trios come together and not win. Everybody thinks, oh, Boston, and I like the Nets. I'm with you in that. I think they're the best team in the East, or certainly will be. But I think the Lakers are the best team in the league. But we saw in Houston when Charles Barkley, who still could ball, people want to now, you know, revisionist history, oh, they were old. No, Barkley was still very good, a great player. Ty Drexler was still very good. Hakeem Olajuwon was still putting up huge numbers. And they never won. They were 2 years together, never got to the finals. Remember, we saw Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor. They played like four seasons together and didn't win it. And, you know, they won it later when Baylor retired. So it is tough. It's more than a notion to bring together three big-time scorers. And I think what I saw, Rob, Kyrie was very aggressive. And when the three of them were on the floor together, Kyrie was the ball handler, which I think they should actually have Harden be the ball handler. But Kyrie was the ball handler because I don't think Harden is as good off the ball. And maybe none of them are. Kyrie may not be as good off the ball, but he played off the ball with LeBron. And obviously, you keep pointing out, but you're right. He was balling.
Yeah, he was able to do 28 points that. In the finals, right? Let's just – those are the numbers, right?
Well, I mean, when Steph averaged 28 points in the finals for his career, that's just another topic.
No, but he lost. Okay.
But he – well, actually, really? Really? He's got three rings. But anyway, that's another topic for another day. But Kai, I think Harden – Rob, we watched it in Houston. Harden, when he didn't have the ball, he stood somewhere between the hash mark and half court twiddling his thumbs. You know, I mean, not literally, but, you know, he really was not involved. That was one of the issues Chris Paul had with him, was like, yo, dude, like, can you at the very least spot up by the three-point line?
Right, right.
And he's doing that. He was doing that tonight. Like, he was by the three-point line, but he's not – I just don't think his game is going to flourish off the ball. And look, this is early. You're right. We're not making any.
Let's not make a snap judgment off the first game of them playing together. It's not like they had a lot of practice time. Kyrie wasn't around. It's a work in progress. Chris, the best part, if you're a Nets fan or if you're a Brooklyn management or whatever, there's 50 some odd games. There's 50 games to play or whatever the number is. There's a long way to go. And you want to be revved up and got a feel for each other going into the playoffs more so than right now. And,
well,
and even despite
happen,
that.
Oh, go ahead.
Because they've won four in a row, right? Haven't they won four in a row?
Well, I mean, yeah, when they, you know, that was without Kyrie.
But. Right, right. But I'm just saying, like, they could take off a stretch here and win a number of games is what I'm saying. Is like they
well,
were already
they did,
winning.
And I think what they're going to do, you're going to stagger Harden in Kyrie's minutes. And they're obviously going to play together a lot, especially early in the game and late in the game. But during the game, and you saw it already tonight, you know, there were a lot of minutes where Kyrie and Durant were out there or Harden and Durant were out there. And that's one of the benefits of having a big three, Rob, is that you can always have, at the very least, you're going to have one superstar score on the floor. And you most times you're going to have two.
I was going to say, right. And that does make it, Chris, when other teams are putting in second unit guys or whatever, right. You're still going to have a stud out there who can just control the game.
Abuse those guys.
Right.
Yeah. So, look, it's going to be a work in progress. You got to find a way. Usually in big threes, when one or two of the guys is ball dominant, one of the three has typically taken a back seat. You know, we saw it with Chris Bosh with LeBron and Wade. We saw it with Kevin Love with LeBron.
Oh, that's going to happen, right.
And Kyrie. The thing is, the one whose personality is most suited to step back is Durant, but he's your best player.
Right. But also, you got to remember this.
I can't see Kyrie or Harden stepping back.
But Harden is the one who tried to force his way into this duo. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. Like Chris, you looked and you saw those two guys there, right? It's not like it's a shock. Like, you saw those two guys.
Right.
And that's where you wanted to go. So the concession has to come a little bit from Harden, not completely like give up like his drive and desire and his skill. You know what I mean? To acquiesce to everybody else. But you can't come in there in a situation where they already had this bond of that they were going to go to Brooklyn and they were going to do their thing, and you wanted to join them and they welcomed you. So
they
I think he's
you, yeah.
Yeah, I think Durant, it's a little bit of a tough spot to be in. The minutes in this game a little high. Durant and Harden 19, 17.
Kyrie 17.
Yeah. So there's some minutes there, and I don't know if they're just trying to get. I could see why Kyrie, because he hadn't played in 2 weeks. Chris, he should be playing. I don't have an issue. Durant, Harden, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Much.
I mean, they're on pace for 38 minutes. That's not
which is about.
You know that you and I covered the NBA when they were playing. You know, it was nothing for a guy to play 40 minutes, a star.
Right.
So
it's
they
just
can
that
play
they've
that.
Cut it back now, right?
Right. But so what they're going to do, Rob, and Nash even said this, they're not going to have much practice time because teams are essentially playing every other day. I mean, you know that. You know, obviously not all the time, but for the most part, you're playing every other day and you're not killing yourself in that off day. So there, a lot of their feeling each other out, getting acclimated to one another is going to be during the game. So they may lose some games as they're working things out.
I don't think they're going to win every game. Obviously not. Right.
Well, I mean, even like they could lose tonight. I mean, Cleveland, you know, they're 6-7 entering the game. But they actually play really good defense. They're second in the league in defensive efficiency. So they can D up. And, again, you know, every team in the NBA has talent. On any given night, anybody can win.
Oh, yeah.
So you may see them lose to some teams. You just can't make a huge statement out of it. But
But what do we always say? What's the equalizer? What's the equalizer, Chris, in the playoffs with the good team?
Well, having the guys that can go get it.
Well, but four out of seven.
Yeah.
I mean, you could beat LeBron and Anthony Davis a game or two. Can you beat them four times?
Right.
I mean, that to me, that's why most of the time you don't have big upsets, because you can't beat those guys. You're going to beat Michael Jordan four times, Chris, in a seven-game period? I doubt it.
Right.
If it was one game or two out of three.
I'm with you. I think the challenge, see – Harden, you mentioned, you know, he's got to step back probably a little because he's the newcomer. And I think that's kind of human nature in a lot of respects. And he may be – he ain't going to be fine with getting, you know, 10 points.
No. I don't. But he shouldn't be. Nets shouldn't want him to get 10 points. There should be minutes. When those two guys sit down, Chris, they don't all need to be out there together. There's going to be plenty of time where Harden should be the main guy out there, right? When those guys are getting a blow.
Yeah. But this is what we've been talking about, Rob, though. This is a challenge. And you're right. If I was James Harden, and you're not going to get mad at teammates and anything, but, you know, he didn't go there to score 2 points, you know, in the half. And I don't want to make a grand judgment out of it. But still, this is what we're talking about, though. I don't know if a team has ever had three guys score 25 or more points a game, averaging. But for Harden to drop down to 25 is like a long drop. Now we did see, and he was a rare superstar, but you covered him, Rob, Mark Aguirre.
Right.
The sacrifice he made was amazing. Cause remember in Dallas, he was a big time scorer. People forget that.
And
he
came to
25,
Detroit.
26 points. And they went to seven games with the Showtime Lakers in the conference finals. So it wasn't like he was just putting up numbers on a bad team. He was a baller on a good team. And you're right. When he came to the Pistons, what did he average? 15 maybe his first year? Volunteered to come off the bench his second year because they should start Rodman? So he was selfless, but that's rare. And so they got a lot to work out. But it's going to be fun to watch. And some of you think maybe that it won't work out. But we're going to check it out from you now, 877 99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Actually, we're not. We'll get to you in the next hour for your calls. We got the Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts joining us next. Keep it locked. Fox Sports Radio, The Odd Couple.
It will never happen. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is The Odd Couple. Chris and Rob coming to you live.
You need to take Alex to a black church, Chris. That's what we need to do.
Right.
I'm there.
Next time I get out there in L.A.,
I'll be singing with them, CB.
That's right.
All right. We're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. You can call 1-888-FARMERS, and you can save a whole lot of something, that's money, on your car insurance. All right.
And speaking of money, real quick, Alex, you don't take the money out of the plate. You put it in, okay?
My bad.
I want you to know. Okay.
We want to welcome in a Hall of Fame quarterback and had a tremendous career with the San Diego Chargers, Dan Fouts. Dan, welcome to the Odd Couple.
What's happening, Dan?
Well, it's good to be with you, Oddballs.
Let me say this real quick, okay? Because Dan, watching you as a kid, man, you know, Air Coryell, receivers, and I still to this day, Howard Cosell did an introduction that I still remember to this very day on Monday Night Football. You ready? The San Diego Chargers, led by Dan Fouts, have an awesome passing attack. Last time out against Seattle, look at the day he had. Over 300 yards. Fouts, of course, has the great receivers to throw to. Tight end Kellen Winslow, number 80. There's also the new man, Charlie Joyner, number 18, right there. Do you remember those days?
Right there.
Yeah. Howard was the best for these millennials who never saw Howard Cosell. Yes. But, yes. Dan, you gave so many thrills as a quarterback, man, with that team.
Well, you know what? We had great players. We had a great coaching staff. It was a real pleasure to play and so much fun. We knew that we were on the cutting edge of what we're seeing today. But in reality, we're just trying to win that Sunday. So when people talk about, you know, the future of the football that we're seeing today and our influence on it, we weren't thinking about that. We were just guys going out and playing.
Well, absolutely, Dan. And you led the league in passing yards four straight years. You averaged 1 year 320 yards per game.
Which was a lot back then.
300 yards a game for another year. Yeah, I mean, that's huge. 320 would have led the league now.
Right.
When you watch today's game with the, you know, they you can't really touch the quarterback like you could when you played. Of course, you could get hammered. The receivers can't get hit the way they used to. Robin always say, you can't compare the numbers, even though your numbers are comparable
really
to some
good,
of your
right.
years. But you can't compare the numbers of guys in your era to what we see today. Can you kind of explain it to the layperson, to the fan, why we say that?
Well, you just touched upon it. I mean, the protection of the quarterbacks is primary. And then on the other end is the receivers and protecting them as well. But, you know, every era is different. You can't compare the era that we played in to the era that Johnny Unitas played in or that Otto Graham played in before that. So the game has evolved, and it's evolved to a point now where it is more exciting. It's more unpredictable because of the passing game. And I think, we're part of that, and I'm proud of that. But, we took advantage of some of the rules that were made available to us at the time. And obviously that's what's happening today as well.
So Phillip Rivers retired, announced his retirement, 17 years, 15 years as a starter. So, of course, the big debate now is all going to be about the Hall of Fame and whatnot. You're in the Hall of Fame. And I don't expect you to say he shouldn't be in. I get it. I don't. But the problem I have for people who are saying he should be in the Hall of Fame
is that
Chris. Chris thinks he should be in the Hall of Fame, but he didn't win enough. And not only just about winning a Super Bowl, there's a couple of things here when I look at his numbers and whatnot. and maybe you can tell me I'm wrong or point me the way, but Rivers is the only top 10 quarterback in passing yards and touchdowns not to make a Super Bowl. He also was never a number one, a first or second team All-Pro. And even the five guys who have gotten in the Hall of Fame without winning a Super Bowl, so I'm not just holding that against him because you didn't win a Super Bowl and Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl, Warren Moon, Jim Kelly, and Fran Tarkenton, but all of you guys were first-team All-Pros. Am I crazy to think that he belongs in the Hall of Very Good?
No, you're not crazy, and it's going to be 5 years before we even sit down and decide this. So a lot's going to happen in that 5 years. I mean, we just had I am a selector of the Hall of Fame.
Oh, are you? Okay.
And yesterday was the vote. Now, the vote won't be made public for a couple of weeks now, but we did sit and vote yesterday. And obviously, I don't think I'm, telling anybody they don't already know that Peyton Manning is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Oh, he made it.
He made. Oh, what a shocker. Stop the presses. Right. Exactly.
Well, there you are. So, but it's different eras. And, I went into the Hall of Fame having never even played a Super Bowl or a championship game. And I was the first player to have that distinction or discredit, if you will. But it was a different era. Warren Moon followed me in that category. So, Marino played in the Super Bowl, Tarkenton obviously, so did Kelly. But, it's different. And each time there's a selection meeting, things are different. So in my mind, I think at this point, the Hall of Fame should welcome Philip Rivers because of his career and what he has done. But you never know in 5 years what will change as far as the perception of what a Hall of Famer is.
Chris, I just want to follow up. I'm sorry. Eli Manning, Chris and I debate this all the time as well. I think Eli Manning
is
a Hall of Famer. I mean, he beat the Patriots twice and Tom Brady, beat that 18-0 Patriots team, made some iconic throws. Yes, his regular season's weren't the greatest. Where are you on Eli Manning?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, he'll be 4 years now because he was out last year.
Right.
So, that's the beauty of the Hall of Fame. It's not easy. Okay. It's hard and it's supposed to be hard to get into the Hall of Fame. And your numbers and your records speak for themselves. But and yet you go into that meeting with 48 selectors. There's a lot of debate, pro and con for everybody, except Peyton Manning.
Right.
You get my point, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and not because you didn't win a Super Bowl, but just because you understand it's obviously a team game. Does it bother you as a former quarterback when we put so much emphasis on rings? And a lot of times, like Rob and I, we don't judge only by rings.
No.
But, it's a factor, but it's not the only thing. But to a lot of people, it seems like that's the case. Does that bother you when people put so much emphasis on quarterbacks and how many rings they have?
No, it doesn't, because you play to win, okay? And if you that's the key. That's what every player will tell you. You play the game to win the game. And, if you don't, that's life. That's the game. But the important thing is that you played to win. And I think that when you look at a lot of players, and just not the quarterback position, but you measure every career as about the character of the player and how he played and the numbers he put up or whatever. But did you play to win? Did you give it your all? And that's what a Hall of Famer really is.
Dan, great stuff. We appreciate it. And thank you for your time. We appreciate you.
Dan, thank you so much. And come on, you got to be impressed. I knew that Howard Cosell intro to Monday Night Football. That was my stuff.
It was a little odd, but what else can you expect from me?
It was odd.
That's right. That's right. All right, Dan. Thanks a lot. We appreciate
it, buddy.
Take care, boys.
All right. We got Kendall Gill, who's ready to throw some blows.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Our next guest was a 15-year NBA veteran. Now he calls sports for the NBC Sports in Chicago. He's an analyst for the Bulls. Kendall Gill. Kendall, welcome to the iCouple,
man. What's happening, Kendall?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
We're doing great, man.
It's great to have you on the show, brother. And look, we're going to get to the basketball.
Yes, but you already know. You already know.
You're just going to jump right into it.
I'm jumping right in, Kendall.
Okay.
We all watched in horror when Nate Robinson got put to sleep by Jake Paul. And Jake Paul, who was much bigger than Nate, obviously Nate didn't have any experience in the boxing ring, but he went on this spree of calling out the NBA, right? He called out LeBron. He wants to fight LeBron. I think he called out a few other players. And you have called his bluff, and you have put forth the challenge that you want Jake Paul in the ring. Tell us why.
Well, the reason why is, one, you know, when I first started boxing professionally, you know, people doubted my skill level and everything like that. I want to show my skill level on a platform where everybody can see it, where everybody sees all of the hard work that I put in. Secondly, because of the way they took advantage of Nate. I mean, and Nate actually asked for it. He called Jake Paul out. But when he went in there, he found out that being an elite athlete, being a strong guy, being a fast guy, it doesn't translate into the boxing ring unless you really know the sweet science, unless you put years in the bank as far as learning the sport. And, you know, he quickly found out that, you know, you got to be more than a tough guy to survive in that ring.
And thirdly, I just
don't think Jake Paul is a very good fighter. I mean, he looked good because he was in there with Nate, but, you know, I've watched that fight over 100 times, man. He makes so many mistakes that you can capitalize on.
I was going to say, yeah, for a lot of guys who think they're tough until you get in the boxing ring and they get hit for the first time, and then all of a sudden they don't want to box. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Am I right? I mean.
Yeah, you're right. And it also comes down to the endurance that it takes, the fact that you can't call a timeout. You know, in basketball, you can call a 20, catch your breath. You know, in the boxing ring, you cannot call the timeout at all. So, you know, that's the most difficult part about it is the conditioning that it takes. You know, when I first started training seriously, I was in basketball shape because that was my last year in the league. And, you know, I went in and I couldn't even box a round. So, you know, that tells you exactly what type of endurance it takes.
Now, you were 4-0, Kendall. Right. When's the last time you fought? You're my age, so you're a little older. Does that concern you at all if indeed this fight happens?
No, it doesn't concern me at all because I've stayed in the gym. You know, if I had, like, not been in the gym for years on end and just go back in there and try and pick it up, yeah, it would concern me. But, you know, I still have everything. I still have my reflexes. I still have my power, my quickness. My weight is way down. You know, I don't get out of shape. So boxing to me is a lifestyle. Training to me is a lifestyle. So, you know, I don't have any concerns at all. You know, give me 8 weeks. I'll be ready.
So tell me what happened when Nate Robinson got floored. Were you like, oh, my God? Were you laughing? I mean, everybody in the barbershop the next day.
Snoop was making everybody laugh.
You know what I mean?
I wasn't laughing at all. As a matter of fact, you know, I know Snoop was funny, but I don't joke around when somebody gets knocked out like that because I've known guys to die in the ring, and that's what happens to them. You know, when they take a lot of punishment, they didn't take a 6 rounds of punishment, but he took some heavy blows where he finished early. But I've seen guys take a lot of punishment and stand in there for the duration, and then they never wake up. So, you know, when Snoop was singing the hymns and everything, I didn't think that was funny because, you know, this guy's life could be on the line. Right. You know. I take the sport seriously. It's, you know, it's no joke to me. And, you know, because I cover boxing for Premier Boxing International sometimes, too. I last called the Manny Pacquiao fight with Keith Thurman. So, you know, I'm really into it. And, you know, I just think that anybody that steps inside those ring ropes deserves credit, because it takes a lot of heart, a lot of skill to get in there and basically put your life on the line.
Kendall, as I said, you also you call games for the Bulls. Mm-hmm. You're in their studio talking about the Bulls. Look, I don't want to offend you, but we're not going to talk about the Bulls tonight.
Hey, the Bulls are doing better, Chris.
We don't have time. We don't have any time for no Bull talk.
Better
on the
is
odd
relative.
Couple.
You know that. You know that. But I want to get to the big story in the NBA, and that's the Nets. And obviously bringing together Durant, Harden, and Kyrie. Now, you were on the team. You know, I'm not saying you guys were at that level, but you had big scores with the Nets. You averaged 22 one year with Sam Cassell, who was a big scorer, Jim Jackson, big scorer. Like, how tough is it for three big scorers to come together and mesh? And what do you think, you know, the future holds for this Nets team? How's it going to work out for them?
Well, you know, I think that KD can assimilate easily because he had to do it with Clay and Steph in Golden State. And he also had to do it with Westbrook and Harden in OKC when he was younger. So, and he doesn't necessarily need the basketball to be effective, because he can get a lot of his shots moving without the basketball. Now, the conundrum for Steve Nash is going to come: how do I stagger the time between James Harden and Kyrie? Because both of those guys have to have the basketball in order to be effective. I think that all three of them will start. All three of them will finish the game. But you have to stagger where James is out when Kyrie is in, and Kyrie is out when James is in, because that's the only way I believe that you're going to, you know, keep those guys happy. Unless they just decide, listen, guys, we're going to show everybody that we can play together. We're going to sacrifice shots, and we're going to do all this. Actually, before the trade was made, I thought that the Nets were good how they were.
Yeah, right. I agree. Chris and I both agreed with that. We liked what that team had.
Yeah, I like Caris LeVert. I like Allen coming off of the bench. I'm like, man, this team is poised. They got everything that they need. And now, but, you know, also, too, you know, we all, unfortunately, you know, Kyrie had to take a break and everything. I think the Nets probably are thinking down the road, too, what is the future with Kyrie Irving? Can we trust the future with him? So we might as well pick up James Harden to
security blanket.
Yeah, security blanket, insurance policy. To have Kevin Durant be secure. So that might be why they made the move as well.
And also, it's also hard to pass up on a talent like that if he's available. Am I right? I mean, a guy like Harden doesn't come available all the time.
Yeah, he doesn't come available all the time. But, you know, like I said before, I like the team the way it was. And we got to look at James Harden when he was in Houston. He had CP3. He had Westbrook. You know, he had Dwight Howard. So those are the things, if I was a GM, that I would be thinking about.
Well, real talk, Kendall, would you have liked playing with a guy that plays like James Harden, you know, the way he played in Houston?
No, not at all. Because, you know, he's pounding basketball and, you know, he gets a lot of assists and everything, but that takes you out of your rhythm. You know, players always need to be moving and at least touching the basketball. They don't have to shoot it, but they have to touch it. And, you know, I think that James, you know, he'll have to adapt because now he's with two more superstars. But in Houston, he didn't have to do that, you know. And I think that it totally takes other players out of the rhythm, and it doesn't work. I mean, you saw it in Houston for, 6 or 7 years, and it didn't work.
Are quickly, because we got to run for break, but are they your favorite in the East?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I think that they beat everybody.
In the league, too, or just the East?
You know what? I'm going to pick them in the league. I'm going to go. Wow. I'm going to be the contrarian here. I think that
I'm with you.
I got the
Kendall.
Lakers beating them in the finals.
I'm with you, Kendall.
Okay.
Hey,
okay, all right.
Hey, one last thing.
Chris.
Well, yeah, you know, one last thing. You know, do it for the culture, man. Don't get knocked out. Don't embarrass us. Don't do it.
Don't worry about it, baby. Well, I'm gonna keep him on the end of my jab. He'll never get
caught. All right.
Is that part of it, Kendall? Quickly, because you know, he, like I said, he's been calling out the NBA and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's part of it. And, you know, and they think, oh, he's 50 years old, he can't do it. Well, you just wait, because I spar guys like him in the gym all the time.
All right. Well, we're hoping he answered, because so far he's been running.
Yeah, he's been running. We'll see what happens, though.
All right, brother. Kendall, great stuff. We'll try to get you on again. We won't talk Bulls, but we'll talk more NBA with you.
Come on.
Unless they go on the winning streak, man. Yes. Something.
We are on the winning streak. We won two in a row.
Oh, very nice.
That counts nowadays, right?
The only thing Chicago we'll talk to you about is deep dish pizza. Other than that, it won't be basketball.
All right, guys.
All right, brother. Peace. Yep. All right, Shop Talk is coming up next. It's the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. Keep it locked.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it's the iCouple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. You can call Farmers today for a quote. Lower your auto insurance. All right, it's going to be a short one, but it's time for Shop Talk.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
Yes, sir, it is Shop Talk, the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. We discussed something that happened outside of the world of sports. And today, of course, the big story was the inauguration. But I don't know if you guys saw this. The third most trending topic in the middle of the inauguration was Dior ones, as in there was a man on camera spotted at the inauguration wearing Air Jordan Dior ones, and Twitter was having a field day. Now, we found out later it was...
That says a lot about our country.
Right, well, about social media especially.
Well, but Bernie Sanders topic. Had on mittens.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And he had the same coat on that he has from his meme that is on the internet. So that was another
exactly.
thing. But the guy who was wearing it was the husband of Kamala Harris's niece. So, you know, that's what we found out later. But here's the question. You guys are big sneakerheads. Is it ever acceptable to wear sneakers to a formal event like this was? Rob Parker.
Yes, my buddy Nick Nunez, who I grew up with in Jamaica, Queens, had a wedding. I was in the wedding party, and he bought everybody all white Air Force Ones with our tuxedos. Those were our gifts for being in the wedding, and we look spectacular in those. So, yes, you can wear sneakers to a formal event.
I have a hard time believing y'all look spectacular.
We look spectacular. I'll show you the picture. All right,
nah,
maybe
but that I think that's a little different, though. Because that was the, you know, that was the groom saying that's what he wanted.
No, but it didn't look out of place is what I'm saying.
Right. But you wouldn't have just done that, you know, as one of the, say you were a groomsman and everybody was just wearing regular. Let's say they were wearing white patent, you know, white shoes with the tux. Yeah. You wouldn't just wear some some white
sneakers.
No,
I wouldn't do that. Right. But if I went to an event or some sort of event, And I had a pair. You know, do you have dress sneakers that kind of go right. over your jeans and a sport coat, Chris? You could pull it off.
No, they got like dress if I was, sneakers today. And I think
am I right?
But I think that's different, too. You know, now, but look, the bottom line is this. Today, it pretty much anything goes.
Right.
You know
what Rob I'm saying? G, like, Alex, jump in.
I think Chris nailed it, exactly. If you're at an actual formal event where it's not on purpose where people are wearing sneakers, you know, if you're above the age of 15, put on some dress shoes. Come on.
Alex.
Rob, I'll say this. I don't think there is any etiquette anymore. I don't think we have to have a set right. standard. You flex in some Air Force Ones, some Jordans that your man Rob Parker gets you for your first ever set. I'm showing up at weddings. I'm showing up at bar mitzvahs. I'm showing up at baby showers. You name it, I'm there with them strapped, baby.
He went to a funeral and said, look at my shoes.
I did.
Kind of weird.
Rest in peace. Now give me a kiss.
Wait till I get these two new pairs of Air Jordans.
You heard that, Rob G? Rob G. Rob G. Alex, did you hear that?
Wow. Hold on, y'all knew I was picking Tampa Bay.
Did you hear
y'all
that?
Y'all knew I was picking Tampa Bay.